very much. We'll start everybody. I wanted to talk to you today about Talmud Torah. Of course, you know, as the Rebbe said, I was together with the Rosh Yeshiva around Bina many years in the Rav Shir, and we have Bina and myself and a few others who are still very active. We have a responsibility to bring that Masorah, that core of Torah that we saw by the Rav, of the Salvation itself, to bring it to you, your generation. You have to carry it on. It's a tremendous Masorah. It's the core of Talmud Torah in the world. It goes back to his father, and his grandfather, Chaim Brisker, and further back and back to the Vilna Gaon, toward the Rishonim, Mamash to Har Sinai. So it's a very special thing that you have this yeshiva, Rabbeim, Mamash learned by him, or Talmidim, like Weizenstein is a tremendous Talmud of our generation. So we want to be able to make sure that this Masorah, which is the core Masorah, which keeps Am Yisrael and Jewish people alive, the core of Torah Shebal Peh, should go on and on. So let me just talk a little bit about this. It says, and I'll put it together, as the Rebbe said, with a little Chassidus too. He says in the Chumash by Har Sinai, there's a phrase in the Torah that says, "Bayom Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai." On this day, they came to Har Sinai. It's a funny, in Hebrew it makes no sense really. "Bayom Hazeh," today, "Bo," they came, "Midbar Sinai." So it's a present and a pain, literally the same phrase. So Rashi brings down from Chazal, there's a special chiyuv by Yom Hazeh. When I read that story about Har Sinai, it's today. So when we're learning Torah, it's not, we got it today. We're getting it today. V'haraya, when you make a birchas haTorah in the morning, the chasima of the bracha is Baruch Ato Hashem No Sein haTorah. We don't say, start off, Asher Bocha Bono Mikolo Amin V'Nosan Lano, he passed. Then we finish off, Bocha to Hashem, No Sein HaTorah. Hashem is giving us the Torah right now. It's a very, very core and important psychological experience that I am receiving the Torah now. It's not something old, not an old letter. It's fresh. It's a new thing. That's why Chazal say that anybody who's sitting and learning, you, me, everybody, when you sit and learn, especially Torah Shebal Peh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev V'Shona Kenegdo, Hashem is Baruch is sitting there. I remember many times the Rav used to say that we asked, he learned by himself. So we say, Rebbe, you're learning by yourself? By yourself? He says, no, I have a Chavusa. I say, really? Who's your Chavusa? He says, Rebbein Shleilem. God is learning there with me. Whenever I have a problem, I'm trying to hear him whisper in my, and he says, I hear it. I hear him whispering, good pshat, not a good pshat. I hear him telling me it's good or no good, the pshat. He said it in public a few times in a speech that he feels that he has a chavusa with the Bansham. He actually was able to experience this, that Kadosh Baruch Hu Yoshev B'Shena Kenegdo. And I think all of us, at some point or other, we have this feeling. Because when we're learning Torah, a lot of the things that we learn, say, we don't really understand how are we saying such a brilliant thing? How are we saying such a good idea? How am I understanding such a... The answer is Hashem is giving it to me at the point. It's a gift. So it can't be something old. It has to be something new. That's what the Pasuk is saying. B'yom hazeh, today bo midbar Sinai. And what we saw with the Rav, we saw an amazing amount of energy at all times while he was giving the shiur. Tremendous, tremendous excitement. It was, I have a picture of the Rav in my living room giving a shiur, because I had a photograph and I gave it to an artist in Israel and she captured him really. And there's a smile on his face as he's holding his finger like this with the Rambam in front. And the truth is, when he walked around during the day, once in a while you saw him walk around, you didn't see a happy smiling man, because he usually was thinking and deep in the thought. But when he starts saying the Shia, all of a sudden he's smiling and happy and full of enthusiasm, good mood, because the Torah gave him a simcha, gave him a joy while he was learning. He really enjoyed doing it, and that, and tremendous excitement. The average Shia, I know nowadays I say this, people think that it's impossible to do, but the average Shia by the Rav was at least 2 hours. It would go between 2 to 3 hours. And I tell you the truth, you sit there and you sit down and going, and you didn't even pay attention to the clock, not at all. You sit down at 10 o'clock and then he's staying and questioning and answering, and we're trying to participate also. And then it's finished, you look at the clock, it's 1:30. I said, what happened? Started at 10 o'clock, now it's 1:30. It was literally 3.5 hours. It just went like that. Because when it's full of excitement, it's beyond time. Time doesn't measure when you're learning like that. And that's also when, you know, when I'm learning or you're learning, and you get into it, you don't see the time on the clock. You're beyond time. Because it's so enjoyable, so you're not going to look at the clock. That tremendous energy. I remember when I first got into the shiur, he would say two shiurim, because we were the young guys who just, you know, college freshmen or sophomores, and he had the older guys who were going for smicha. He would say our shiur from, let's say, 10 to 1, then he'd give a shiur to them. Literally, mamish, we walk out, they come in, go from 1 to 3, 3:30. So we start from 10, go to 3:30, without lunch, straight. And 5-6 hours, tremendous energy. He was so into it. So that's, you know, it's a model. It's in our head. When we see that, you know, when I know Rabbi Bina, he likes to push the guys. You should know where he's coming from. He's coming from a place where we go for 5 hours, 6 hours. It's normal, because you're into it. You're enjoying it. A guy's playing a full game, so he's going to look at the clock. How long does it take? You know, I don't know how long the Super Bowl took, but it may have taken 5-6 hours, the whole game with all the commercials and halftime. All that. You're into it. You enjoy it. It's exciting. So Talmud Torah, the Havdil, has to be 10 times more exciting than a Super Bowl game. So, of course, I'm going to sit there 5-6 hours, whatever it takes, because it's an exciting thing. Now, part of that, the excitement that we saw by the Rav, was the excitement of a discovery. You get excited when you discover something, a chiddush. So I want to tell you a story. There was one shiur, I was sitting there in the Rav shiur, and he was stuck on something, and it's going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Finally, he says, oh, this is the pshat. This is the pshat. He comes with a whole pshat, and he says, and he's very happy and excited. Everybody's so happy, all the Talmidim. We're happy with the Rebbe, that we figured it out. And then it's all over. And then Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zitzal, was in that shiur with me. So I said to him, boy, you know, I was still a young guy. He was older than me. So I say, boy, that was an amazing shiur that the Rav gave, and now that chiddush is unbelievable, such an insight. So he says to me, he says, I already heard this shiur 4 times. I said, what? Yeah, because he had tremendous memory. He says, the Rav said it 6 years ago, and 8 years ago, and 2 years ago, and in Boston. He had 4 places that the Rav gave the same shiur. So he says to me, you know, my father-in-law, it was his father-in-law, my father was a tremendous actor. He makes believe that he's stuck. He says a pshat, it's no good. He says another pshat, that's no good. gets everybody all worked up and people are screaming, maybe this is the pshat, that's pshat. No, it's stupid what you're saying. Finally, we got it. He says, he's an amazing actor. So, I personally was hurt. I was hurt by that statement because I was sitting there and I really was into it. I believe I was being manipulated by a great actor. So I thought about it. I stayed in the shiur a long time. I was there maybe 25 years. So once I told him, I said, maybe a few years there, I said, Chilas Kavod Rav Lichtenstein, I happen to disagree. You should know like this. Rav, tremendous cup, tremendous head. Not only was he able to think and create new things, analyze, he was able to suppress his memory. You have a computer, so you can erase. You can erase it. Then you push a button and it gets erased. So you start all over again, finally you somehow recreate what you had. Then you call an expert, says, can you come in? You know, it looks like I erased everything. Could you find it? So this expert comes in. He does a lot of things with his hands and pushes a lot of buttons. Magic. All came back. The whole memory, which was lost, is now back. So that's what happens with computers. The Rav did it all the time with his own head. In other words, he could take the memory. He had brilliant memory. And he could close it down. Now I'm thinking from scratch. Whatever I thought before is locked up in some locked box. I'm not even going to reference that. I'm going to start from scratch. That's how he learned. And so I told you about Lichtenstein. I said, it wasn't that he was acting. It was real. That Hitaka didn't know the pshat. Because he was starting from scratch. I don't know about you guys, but I know myself. Once a year, I go over the parasha of the week. Now, my memory's not so great. When I read the parasha every week, it's a year ago that I read it. Like, I just read this week the parasha of Tumah, of the Mishkan. If you would have asked me before I started being Mavu Sedra, how many Krushim were on the north wall? How many on the south wall? I don't think I would remember. What were their dimensions? I wouldn't remember. I read it. I went over the parasha. Oh, I discovered it. But then I remember this from a year ago. I can't remember that there were 20 crushing, 10 crush, 8 crushing. I remember, but I didn't know it before I read it. So you can have a, what you call latent memory, but it's not active. And it's for us many times. So you really, when you read it again, you're rediscovering it. And then it can kick into your memory and re-arouse the old memory. So with the Rav, it was definitely like that. It wasn't that he forgot, like me and you. He remembered, but he was able to suppress that and start from scratch. Now, by the way, I'm telling all these things about the Rav, but every single thing that I'm saying about the Rav applies to every single one of us. Because, let's say we're learning it for the first time. So it's discovery. It's a tremendous thing. We're learning it for the first time. It's such a simcha. I'm discovering so many wonderful ideas, whether it's a pasuk, a rashi, a gemara. What's the difference? Tosfos. It's a discovery. So the excitement of learning new things. You know, people think that you can only have the simcha of learning Torah, if you're very advanced and you figure out Pshat and Rambam. No, it's not true. When you learn for the first time a Mishnah, that's, you get the same simcha of discovery, of something exciting, finding out something new, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there teaching it to you. So, the same way the Rav had this at his level, we have it at our levels. We can access the joy of learning Torah. We can access it. And we just, you know, get into it. Now, there's another thing, a third point I wanted to bring out from the Rav, is that he had very high expectations. for himself and for the Talmidim. So we ask these questions all the time. The Rambam says this, Gemara says this, how do you figure it out? And boys would try to give a pshat. Says, most of the time he'd say, no, it's not the way to go. You're oversimplifying it. You're not really getting the precise, the depth of the pshat. And he would keep on pushing us that we have to get that. So it's a very amazing thing. Here's a man who, I can't think, it was about 60 years old, so he's learning since the age of 5, 6 with his father. So he's learning 50 years. Shas, Rambams, everything there is, and he has the tradition from his father, grandfather, back to Vilna Gaon. He's learning with me and the other guys in the shir. We're a young guy. We don't know his thing. But he's expecting, he wants us to get to that level that he thinks is where we have to get, which is his level. At least at that point, on this particular point. Very high expectations. So, the thing is like this, guys. We should not sell ourselves short in what we can achieve in learning Torah. We cannot sell ourselves short. We can achieve tremendous amounts. I want to tell you a couple of stories of my own Talmidim. I had one Talmud is from about 40 years ago, and the other Talmud is from about 8 years ago. But two very similar stories. The Talmud 40 years ago, he came to Yeshiva, to YU, about Shuva. He picked YU because he thought it had a good chemistry program. It wasn't as if he was looking to become a Talmid Chacham, but he wanted to be Jewish. Anyway, he got in there, and he went to the program for beginners, Maschilim, and he starts to learn. And you know, he likes it. And so I invite him for Shabbos, because I like to invite guys over for Shabbos. So he starts coming to me for Shabbos, and you know, he learns Aleph Beis, and he learns some Chumash, and beginning to learn Rashi and the Chumash. This is the first year. And he comes to my house every Shabbos, because he came from way out, far away. His parents weren't religious, and he hardly ever went home because he's really far away. So I had him every Shabbos. Then in the summer, I said to him, you know what? I'm going away. I had little kids. I'm going to a bungalow colony in the mountains, Catskills. Maybe you want to come up and be there with me, because he didn't have anywhere to go. He says, okay. He comes up, and I said, we're going to learn Chumash and Rashi. So I gave him, I said, every day I want you to prepare from the beginning of whatever the parsha was of the week. I said, go from the beginning till Sheni, and that's what we're going to learn. So he was a very persistent young guy. We take the Chumash, no translation, and start reading the Elah HaDevarim, Asher Diber, Elokim, El Moshe, Parsha Devarim, Beres Chanan, El Hashem. Read each word. And he didn't know 80% of the words. He had a dictionary, English-Hebrew dictionary. He'd look up each word in the dictionary and sit there with a piece of paper and write it down. It would take him maybe an hour to go through one pasuk with the Rashi. He would do the same thing with Rashi. That's how he started. And we went through the summer like that. We went through Chumash Rashi, one word at a time. The little guy would spend about 4 or 5 hours a day just preparing one pasuk with the Rashi, because it takes a long time to look up every word and figure it out. And that's how we did it every week from Rishon to Sheni. He spent another year in the beginner's program, and then he came over to my shir, and by then he was already able to do Mishnayos and a little Gemara. He stayed in my shir for 4 or 5 years, and then he went on to Smicha, and he got Smicha. And this guy today has gone through Shas 3 times, Daf Yomi. And I remember he started literally with Aleph Beis. The persistence. And not selling himself short. He said, you know, I have a Rebbe, my Rebbe learns Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam. I'm going to do the same thing. He actually wound up in the Rav Shir at some point. You know, with the Rav for a few years. That's a story from a guy 40 years ago. Then I have a story from a guy who was in my Shir about 7-8 years ago. Very similar story. This guy also came to a Y. He was more... was more frum when he came. He became frum in a college someplace and graduated. There was a frum guy, a professor, and that guy was alone with him a little bit, so he became frum. He can tell he wants to come to Y, become a Talmud Chacham. Also, and for some reason, when he walked in, he right away came to my Shir. I remember learning with him when he first sat down in the Shir. I said, how much Gemara have you learned in your life? He says, one side of one page. What have you learned? He said, I learned a few sedras, I know Chumash, and I learned two or three mesechtas of Mishnayos, because I went to Morashah. He went to Camp Morashah. Why use Morashah camp for two summers? So there he learned Mishnayos. I said, good, okay. So he started. The guy stayed in my shir for 7 years. He got smicha. He went into the kolel. That's amazing. And he did so much work. He went all the way from beginning Mishnayos all the way to graduate smicha. He's a real Talmud Chacham. Now he's working as an accountant. But the guy's still learning every day 2-3 hours a day. And he can do it. He can do it. So, not to sell yourself short. It doesn't make a difference where you're at. That's the point that the Rav is telling us. He says, wherever you're at, go for the higher goal. Don't say, I can do only this amount, so this is what I'm going to do. No, push yourself to go for the higher goal. That's what the Rav is telling us. And that's what we see, that the guy who makes that decision and sticks for it, gets there. That's what, and the Rav had that faith. Truth of the matter is, I think it's Rebbe Akiva's statement that Jews are fish, and the water is the water of the Torah. And you put a fish into water, he's going to swim. You take any Jew, you put him into Torah, he's going to swim. Just has to want to do it. And do it, as they say. Just go ahead and do it. Don't worry about the level. You just keep on pushing and pushing, you get there. Remember the Rav, I once went up to him in the summertime to come with him. So he was lying literally on his back. He couldn't move. He was on his back. He was sitting on one of these reclining chairs. The only way he could get there was that people would pick him up and get him to go there. He was lying in the back, and he would hold the Gemara like this. Remember? And he would give a shiur to us about 5 hours like that. I couldn't believe it. But persistency, that's what we saw. It doesn't make a difference, your physical condition, wherever, you have to just plug and plug and plug away. You get there. Okay, now my bow tie. You have Baruch Hashem and this yeshiva. So I know some of the Rebbe's, I know the Rosh Yeshiva well, I know some of you Rebbe's are sitting here, Eisenstein, Beinish. People are models of all of these midos. These are midos, these are traits which get us to be Talmidei Chacham. Excitement in learning Torah. Energy. The joy of discovery, high standards, belief in one's own ability to succeed and to rise to the challenge. That's what all of this, these rebbeim that you have, this yeshiva, when they push you, it's the way you want it to be. You want to be pushed. And you have people like Rabbi Nebensal sitting here, Gedolei Yisrael Mamish. And you see from him how he pushes himself at this age and this physical condition. The Pasuk, Pumei Megissa, doesn't stop learning day and night. And these are the models which will help you achieve your success and bring out all your ability. This I want to say and finish off with this word. This is not the shame Shmuel has this word, the Chassidus Shvuot. The Gemara says, Al Me'a of the Haaretz, why was Eretz Yisrael destroyed? Al Shalo Be'echo B'Torah Tchila. They didn't say Bracha of Torah. So it doesn't really make much sense. They were learning a lot of Torah by Sheni, right? There's Tanoim, the Talmidim of Tanoim. They're learning a lot of Torah, but they don't make a Bracha. And because they don't make a Bracha, they lose Eretz Yisrael. So first of all, why weren't they making a Bracha? And second of all, how does that connect to losing Eretz Yisrael? So he says, the Hasidish Rebbe, Sheni Shmuel, he says like this. He says, why weren't they making a Bracha Tchila? I'll tell you why. Because if you are learning, so why should you make another Bracha? Why should you make another Bracha? If I make a Bracha and I eat, so one Bracha goes on and on. So why should I make another Bracha? I wasn't mafsik. So someone who's learning like that day and night, so let's say he takes a 2-hour nap at night or 3 hours, then he wakes up in the morning. So he has no hafsik. He wasn't mafsik. He went to sleep thinking about Torah. He's dreaming Torah, wakes up with Torah, so there's no hafsik. But what? If he knows that Kol Yom Yubnecha Chadoshim, that every morning I wake up and I see the sun comes up, the sun is shining, it's a new day, it's a new Matan Torah. I just got the Torah. It's fresh. I just got it. Then you make a new bracha, because it's like I'm eating cake and all of a sudden I get ice cream. Make a new bracha. Something new came in. So if I wake up in the morning and it's not that, I'm continuing what I learned yesterday. Old stuff. No, it's new stuff. It's completely new. From the male, I'm going to make a bracha. So they didn't have that sense. When the Gemara says, "Babocha b'tera tchila," they didn't have that sense that every day it's new and fresh. They were continuing the old learning. No, my friend, if you continue your old learning, that means you don't have the real excitement, and you're not going to get the levels that you could achieve. And that's why you lose Eretz Yisrael. Because I was just telling it to the guy who joked me in today. I say, one good thing, I have a terrible plague, so the spot has condemned me to go in and out of Eretz Yisrael 2 or 3 times a year. I'm here, out, here, out. So I don't know why. It must be a Gilgal of somebody who should have settled but never settled. So I have to be mechaper going in and out. But one good thing about the out and in and out from Israel is every time I walk in, I come in, wow, this is exciting. This is exciting. When I drove in today from Beit Shemesh, I said, wow, it's a gorgeous day. Look at the green. Look at the flowers are coming out. It's unbelievable. Eretz Yisrael is beginning to bloom. Fantastic. What colors all of a sudden here? So that I appreciate because I'm coming from Chutz La'aretz. So Eretz Yisrael, the same thing. If you're excited about Eretz Yisrael, you think it's fresh and new, you get it. God gives it to you. If you think it's something old, stale, I happen to live here. Big deal. That's what you think. You know what? God forbid, you're going to lose it. God will take it away from you. You have to appreciate what He gave you. Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Gemara makes that connection. Lo berchu b'Torah tchila. They don't have the excitement that Torah is chadosh, something new and fresh and exciting. So Mamela, Eretz Yisrael, the same thing. It's all something old. Then Amel of the Oretz, you lose Eretz Yisrael because Lo berchu b'Torah tchila. Don't have the excitement of being a Jew, of the special privilege of having Torah, special privilege of having Eretz Yisrael. So I guys want to give you the bracha that you know you're in the right place, literally the best place, basically right across the street from the Kotel. Mamish, can't even get to you without going through security for the Kotel. So it's a statement that you can't get here without being zocha to be by the Har HaBayis, and you have that porch there. You're just looking at it. So be excited. Never ever let yourself get stale. It's fresh and new every day. Be excited about being in Eretz Yisrael. Be excited about learning Torah. Be excited about your Rebbe's. Be excited about that you're Jewish, that you have such a privilege, and Hashem will enable you and all of us to be zoche for bigger and better and greater Torah and Eretz Yisrael. Kula Shleima. Amen. Amen.
And the point you said about you put a fish in the water and it swims. That's your little fetish. The Gemara is talking about you need Torah to survive. You're having a fetish, a beautiful fetish. It's natural that you start learning it's beautiful.
That's my
it's a very beautiful form. That's all the Gemara is talking about. You're adding a very, very.
I like it a lot.
It's a new angle on that Gemara. It's very. And then it's just. You're talking about the rough shear, but you thought you'd think. There was one of my scene, we talked for 3 hours straight on Thanksgiving or something. Did you happen to have been that year when they said they're thinking?
Yeah.
I was like, what'd you do for 3 hours? He said he was thinking.
The boys were whispering to one another. Then he would say, quiet.
He's sitting there thinking. There's only a couple hours.
That was the one when he missed his flight back for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That was that same shear.
There's a famous story which I was not privy to. That they say in Boston, some guy came to on Shabbos and was talking and learning, and he asked the guy. Some question came up. The guy said, "I have to go. I have to go check. So." He said, excuse me, he went, he had a room full of svarim, and he went in there, closed the door, and didn't come back. So they waited. He went in there and said, it was 1 o'clock in the afternoon, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. Not coming out, it's a summer day. So after about 6 hours, they called his wife. He says, you know, he disappeared. What happened to him? So she went to the room. He was sitting and looking into the svarim, thinking. He forgot the time it was. He was kind of so clownish, amazing. He was so intolerant. So I always said like this, the guy, I was back 100% believe he had like compartments in his brain. So when I would talk to him, sometimes guys when I talk to him, you know, not to other things, he would answer you, but you could tell that in his eyes you saw that he was thinking about something else as he talked to you about the weather or whatever.
Yeah, when you know, I was near at the Shloshim, so it was Sunday night. He said that years of remembrance, after breakfast you go into study, you stay there until midnight, you know, 7-8 hours except for lunch. And this was his quote. He said, during the 7 or 8 hours, a bomb could have dropped, but he wouldn't have heard the bomb. That's the way he said it all. I was like, he was so like totally engrossed. And he speaks precisely.
Yeah.
He says, for those 7 or 8 hours, a bomb could have dropped, and next thing he wouldn't have heard the bomb. Like, you know, like in his prime when he was like,
totally.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Got another tape?
I got another tape. No, perfect. The way the world works.